I think, you know, it's so crazy. I listen to albums different when I'm like on vacation. I think when I'm listening to them in the city, it's like fuel for you to get through your day and you're like analyzing all that. But then when I was on,
you know, he has to say this on the podcast, right?
Yeah. Oh.
Keep out the way.
No, you see what's happening. But but yeah, it's like you kind of like mellow out and you're actually listening to people. You're actually listening to what they're doing. I'm hearing different things in the samples and stuff like that. Because your mind isn't like, okay, I got to get here too, and I got to watch out for this car and all that stuff, you know?
We are amazing because our passion is limitless and our drive is intense. Therefore, you will not deny our grind. You are now listening to the Faith Grind Inspired Podcast with your host, Gene Alert.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? This is Gene from Faith Grind Inspired Podcast. And today's guest is...
Datewan Thomas from Vibe and Billboard Magazine.
Boom. And yo, we had such a great conversation. It was like... It was like we were kicking it, man.
We was kicking it on the block, man. Yo, man, just listen. Y'all know.
Yes. So tune in right now. Peace. Hey, what's going on, everybody? This is Gene. Welcome back to another great episode of Faith, Grind, Inspire podcast. And today, we have a very special guest, my brother, one of my good friends from when I first started and got into the industry. And we just remained friends. And it was interesting because you meet people and, you know, there's like industry friends mm-hmm. and you got friends, you know, mm-hmm. and people that you could actually build with and talk to. And there's not that many people that you could put in that other box, you know?
No doubt.
And really build with and connect with, you know?
That's real.
And you're one of them.
I appreciate
right?
that,
And
man.
You're like one of the main
vice
ones.
Vice versa.
You know?
Vice
and
versa.
So thank you, man.
Yes.
And so today I got my man,
Datewan
Thomas, man. What's
clap
going
it up
on,
for Datewan, y'all. Clap it up.
So look. Oh, Brianna, man. Where's the prepared? What happened? She's like, I'm working. All right.
I'm working.
So we had a campaign, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we talked about it,
yep.
you know. We talked about coming on the show, but you're super busy.
Yo, it's crazy.
Like,
bro.
I love where your career went.
Thank
right?
you, man.
And I love
appreciate
the fact, and it's, there's a lot of things that, you know this, but mm-hmm. I'm going to tell you, right? Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of reasons I think that, you're where you are, right? And there's no accident.
I appreciate that.
One, you're consistent.
Mm-hmm.
Two, mm-hmm. you really love what you do.
I do,
and
man.
Three, you study the craft.
All the
you
time.
You see
how your man just hit me with, yo, you heard your LOT?
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, Monday, right? You're like, yo, you got to be ready because people will try to test you.
They do test
you. It's like being a rapper and they be like, yo, you ready? You be like, what? Ready for what? I want a battle. You got to have rhymes ready. So, like, with what I do, I got to be ready,
yeah.
you know? And if somebody hits me with something that I don't know, I'll be like, word, oh, they caught me.
Yeah.
Like, wait, I got to get back up.
Yeah.
I stay up hours after I'm finished working.
Wow.
Just looking at stuff. Just looking. Consuming. Because I want to be on point. I want to be able to have dialogue within my space
mm-hmm.
where I can, you know, have a decent conversation with someone. If they bring up, like, their little cousin that's rhyming, and I'm like, yo, all right, man, you know he ain't out like that, so I don't know.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But for the most part, if they're recording music and they have a name and they're out there a little bit, I at least either heard of them or I'm in the process of learning more about them.
Wow, you know? Man. Yeah, I saw it. I witnessed it.
Yeah.
I remember years ago at The Vibe, there was like a video, and
mm-hmm.
I remember that was the first time. Oh man, what's his name? This was the new artist. Yeah, he was
Kendrick?
A new artist. Kendrick.
Kendrick Lamar.
Kendrick yep. Lamar was first coming out,
yep.
and he walked in when we were talking.
Yep. Yep.
And I remember people there were like, "Who's that?" Right?
Yo, it's crazy,
and
that, man.
And it was so crazy where he,
look
you know,
at
he, look at him,
bro.
You know?
I met Kendrick like in person. I think like 2011.
Uh huh.
I think that might have been the first time. It was his first time in New York.
Yeah.
He was about to do, like, his first show. And at the time, I remember talking to him. He was like, yo, I think he was, like, 23
mm-hmm.
or 22. And he was like, yo, I haven't been out the country yet and all that stuff. Like, we were just talking about, like, where he wanted to go.
Yeah.
And this is just before Section 80 was about to drop. And I had already been a fan of his since the Kendrick Lamar LP.
Mm-hmm.
It was really the EP, but he made it longer. And I remember interviewing him then, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to save this interview. And I saved it for 5 years. because I wanted that interview to be fresh when I knew he was going to have all these accolades. And it was I ended up publishing it as the digital cover in 2016 during the Grammys when he had like 7 nominations. And I think he lost all 7, which is crazy.
Yeah.
And it was wild, though, because we got to be able to see someone at their height. And that's when he did that. I think it's probably the top 3 greatest performances on the Grammys Imagine Dragons.
Yep.
And I just remember seeing that and being like, dag, this was the same dude that trooped all the way up to Harlem to talk to me at Just Blaze Studio and had these dreams of being this big artist. And all the odds are stacked against him. And he knocked them all down and look at him now.
Man, you know, yeah,
it's beautiful to see that.
I just love seeing those stories, man.
Of course,
and you being in. So, I'm sorry, we're talking because
we got to do the. Now we got to do the do.
Yeah,
I got you.
So tell people where you from. Who, tell them who Daytwan is.
Oh wow, man, Daytwan, it's a cool cat, man.
You are a cool cat.
Yeah, cool cat, man. I can't even front. I appreciate it. I'm
Daytwan humble. Thomas. Humble, man.
Yeah,
for the this guy, I still have my vibe. It's 15.
Oh wow,
the T-shirt.
Oh, the
T-shirt.
X,
yeah, the X.
X and the V.
Yeah. I still got that, man.
Yo, that's dope, man.
Yep.
Like when I think about you know, like how do I encapsulate my career or who I am and all that stuff? You know, cool dude, family man. Just a lover of music, especially hip hop.
Mm-hmm.
Love writing, love reading. I wish I get to do some of that a little bit more so. But then I just try to be, you know, more of a visionary as far as like, you know, helping other people reach their goals mm-hmm. within this space if I can. And to also try to reach the ideas and the creativity mirages that I see. I want to try to take that mirage and make it reality. So that's one of the things that I'm constantly working towards. When you think about having a family within the industry and you think about some of the other people that are doing what you do and they might not have a family, you're like, yo, it's like that double, triple time, you know? And sometimes you're like, oh man, they running, they getting it out. But mm-hmm. then I always check myself and say, my race isn't against them. My race is against my ideas, you know? And then, what, you can't stop them or slow them up or make them like, come on, I want more comp. You can't do that to them. You can do that to yourself. And, you know, sometimes I beat myself. Sometimes I beat myself up. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's like that internal competitive nature on, you did great things in the past. Can you continue to do that as you get older? That's the competitive spirit that I'm going through. You know what I mean? And that's who I am now.
Mm-hmm.
And outside of that, just trying to make sure that I'm equipping my family, my daughters, my brothers and my sisters with the right kind of tools mentally.
Mentally.
Because, you know, a lot of times you say like, yo, I just want to make all the money so it make things easier for them. But they can have all the money and then mess it up because they don't have the mentality.
They don't have the mentality.
And the skill set to maintain it and keep it going. So I had to switch a little bit of that. Of course, you want the money. I think one of the things we always say growing up is like, oh man, especially as like young black men and come from the hood, dag, man, they ain't leave nothing for us. What they left for us is you. got here. They maintain for you to get here. So now it's up to you to build that. You know, you're the prime example of that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You built upon what you were given.
Yep.
You know, rather than here you go.
Yeah, here you go. Yeah.
You didn't build on that.
No.
You built on what you worked, you know, and that's a mentality shift.
Yeah. And that's really what the show is really about. It's like Faith Grind Inspires, like the mentality, you know, because you could tell everybody, I could tell you how to, hey, buy real estate, you know, like do this. But if you don't have the mentality of how to manage property, how to manage the rental income.
Yep.
Like some people will take the rental income and, you know, people in their family might think, hey, you making money, can I borrow some? So you take the rent income and instead of paying your mortgage, you go and help your family member, right? And you're done because now you're in foreclosure. And then when you go to your family and say, hey, can you help me? Can I need that money back? I don't have it.
That's one of the biggest. It's funny that you bring that up because that's one of the biggest issues that I think like first, second generation successful, you know, black professionals go through.
Yep.
Because if you're the successful one in the family's looking to you to be also the financial guide, and you're the source, you're the bank.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's a lot.
That's
man.
A lot.
That's
and
a
you
lot.
Don't understand the reason why the bank has rules and guidelines of who they lend money to
and how much they get back with it.
And you
what's
know,
the time frame?
You don't know that because you're like, nah, this is Auntie Paula. Like, you know, so I can't do that to my cousin.
Exactly.
Like, he was there giving me the clothes, like, you know, when I didn't have any. And this person fed me. And you start thinking about and then sometimes they...
They attach those things to you.
They remind you.
Oh, no question. Know?
So,
And they feel entitled.
And they feel entitled, yeah.
You know, they feel entitled.
And you feel bad saying no.
Yeah.
But you said something interesting, and I want to ask, you know, now I'm interviewing you, right?
Yes.
And it's interesting, man. My first interview at The Vibe was you.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yo.
That's crazy.
Bro. So this is cool. It's reverse. That's why I'm so excited to do it.
Yep.
And I remember you told me, you like, you're a talkative, positive person, and you're going to have a show one day. And I was like,
crazy.
Nah, bro.
Automatic. I probably that's why it seems so natural for you to do this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's natural.
Yeah.
This is what you're supposed to be doing as well, among all the other things.
Yeah.
This is what you're supposed to be doing.
Thank you, man. And it's funny because three people... Or a couple of people, you and a couple other people said it on like camera. It was like, I see it. And I used to say, no.
Right.
I'm not this.
I'm the business guy.
Yeah, I'm the business guy. I'm not a radio person. And I don't never want to take anything away from journalists.
Of course.
Or people who actually went to school for this.
But you know what's wild, man? That term, even though I went to school for it and all that, that term is loose now. You know, it's not as tight as it used to be. In a good and bad way.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if what people are doing now, like even with podcasting and all that stuff, if it's defined under that, you know what I mean? I think it's entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's informative. And we have those kind of exchanges in everyday conversation.
Yeah.
It's just that we're recording them and putting them out for everybody else to hear.
Exactly.
But this is a conversation we would have if we were just sitting over at Starbucks.
That's true. You know what I mean?
So, you know, like the labels and everything that's going on stuff right now, I think it's to... define and make sure people stay in their lanes, you know. It's no real lanes right now.
You said something like, you said, you know, you put out Kendrick's interview 5-6 years later, right?
Yep.
And so I want to ask you, do you remember how you were in your stage of, you know, at that stage of your career when you're like first starting out, like
early days?
Yeah, early days. Like, I want to know, like, how did you start?
Wow,
you know, like,
man. The start was wild. I was just to speak about the beginning, you know, of like my career and everything. I was a sophomore over at Baruch College. I saw an ad on Vibe.com about an internship for one of their sub websites. It wasn't even for Vibe. It was like for e-zine. That's what they were called at the time. And it was like an underground hip hop one called The Suicide.
Mm-hmm.
And what's so crazy is like the guy that, you know, ended up picking me, it's a whole nother podcast about how I got picked. But the guy that ended up picking me, his name is Greg Bishop.
Uh-huh.
And he's currently the small commission.
Small business commissioner.
Yeah, so he was... he's doing big things. He should be the mayor, but we're gonna talk about that later.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, he was the IT dude over there at Vibe, and how he got in was crazy. So,
is he supposed to come on the show?
Oh, wait, he'll tell that story.
Wow, that's so funny, man.
Yeah, man, you see how life
that
is?
Just threw me off.
Yeah, he's a small business commissioner,
with
De Blasio.
With De Blasio,
that's my man.
Yeah.
Like, if not for him, I probably wouldn't even be in this like how I am.
Wow.
You know, he looked out tremendously. And then while I was there as an intern, he ended up moving over to the street with that dude, Mad Money.
Yes.
Jim Cramer or something like that. Yeah, he went over there with him. And then I ended up just staying at Vibe until XXL was starting. I cold called them the same way I cold emailed, I cold called Vibe. I cold called Reginald Dennis. They had just left The Source.
Uh-huh.
And they started XXL Magazine at Harris Publications. And this is 97 now. And they liked my style. I was, to let you know how I was the young, hungry backpack kid. I looked like Buckshot from, you know, Black Moon with my backpack all the time, just running around. I always have mad tapes in my backpack.
Yeah.
Or CDs if I have my CD player. Sometimes I still have my my tape player, listening to like mixtapes and stuff like that. But that's what my book bag was really filled with, because I wanted to switch out. And I was just thinking the other day, real side, I was like, Dad, I can just go to any song I want right now. It's just crazy.
Yeah,
you had to plan your day about what you wanted to listen to throughout the day. If you left the crib with your Walkman and stuff, it's like, which tapes I'm going to take with me? You know? It's crazy.
The kids nowadays
easy. They have it so easy. So I got in through there. I did 2 years over at XXL. A lot of innovative stuff that we did. We were going up against Vibe and against The Source at the time. We were the street alternative to the street mainstream that the source had, and Vibe just had the culture. It had everything.
Mm-hmm.
And here we are with the grimy shit, and I loved it. Yeah. You know, went on from there, did a little tech stay with Diddy and that crew. They had something called Hook.com,
mm-hmm.
which was an e-commerce site. You could buy gear like Mecca, Aniche, all that. And we also covered hip hop. And then from there, I went back to Harris Publications to start King. And my career just it was skyrocketing.
Yeah, I remember that.
With that. And I had, from King, I had five or six other magazines that I did. Rods, Donk Box, Bubble, Hip Hop Soul with Elliot Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
Did a bunch of stuff, man. Did that for 8 years. Bounced with Russell Simmons over to Global Grind.
Global Grind.
Did that for a year and change. Came back to Vibe. Did Vibe for 3 years. Left Vibe.
You went to LA, right?
I went out to Silicon Valley.
Yeah, yes.
I was with Lorraine Jobs and Carlos Watson. They had founded a media company called Ozzy.com, and they do the Ozzy Fest every year in Central Park. And I was their first urban entertainment editor. So I was doing a lot of music stories, you know, hip hop and R&B and the films that are connected. That was a lot of fun because I got to learn about the tech space and all mm-hmm. that stuff. And then it came back to Vibe, 2015,
right?
Yeah. I did Respect Magazine in between that time, but I got back at Vibe in 2015.
And you started your own hat company.
Yeah, 22. So after the whole situation with Vibe, because I got let go in October 2013. And you know, when something like that happens to you, you kind of take stock of, that's when you take stock. That's when you slow down and you're like, oh, okay, what the hell am I going to do? I got to get on the grind.
Mm-hmm.
And Faith Grind Inspire. And I, my cousin's fiance,
mm-hmm.
he does clothes, he does hats and all that stuff. And he was like, yo, Day, I got a hat for you. I was like, word? He was like, I'm telling you, it was a BK hat, a leather joint, snakeskin bill.
Yeah.
And we just started making a bunch of them. And then one time Carmelo Anthony, really good friend, he wore it when he was in free agency and he officially signed back with the Knicks. He wore the red NY hat that we have with the red Kanye's from the Nike Kanye's, reds. I'll never forget the outfit. It was a blue denim and some khakis. Man, his head with our hat was on every cover, every newspaper, everything.
What?
New York Times, Washington Post, Daily News.
That's press you couldn't pay for.
Couldn't even pay for it. It was all on CNN. It was ESPN.
Yeah.
And you saw a logo. It was so dope. I remember I had a meeting that day about the hat brand. And I'm going to the meeting and I was able to get the newspaper.
Wow.
It was a meeting at the Soho House. I was able to get the newspaper and be like, yeah, so this is our brand.
Right here.
And it was last one. I was yeah, boy. Yes. This is getting locked in quick.
Yeah.
So then we just started blowing up. We took a hiatus this summer
mm-hmm.
to realign the brand. We were doing a lot of stuff in China. And, you know, how everything is going right now mm-hmm. out there. But my partner, Gary, what he's been able to do as far as expand from our 22 brand into mm-hmm. other brands like Famous Nobodies.
Oh, that's him?
That's him as well.
Okay.
Him, Mello, and the team. When you think about his Heart brand, the Heart Clo, that's been around since forever.
Yeah.
Kendall Walker, my man Fresh, all of them. And then now he has a new brand called Summer of 84, because that's when he was born.
That's when he was born.
And it's so dope. So, you know, the misfortune of losing something as stable as my everyday job, which opened up my career to be able to go into all these different facets, but then to start a business as an entrepreneur opened up even more avenues for people that I'm doing business with.
Exactly.
And you realize, like, when you bet on yourself, you're really betting on yourself. It's not just a term. You know what I mean? Like, you're really like, oh, okay, is this cool or is this something that I'm going to pursue for real?
Yeah.
You know, and when you pursue it, other avenues open up.
What do you think the difference is? What do you think you learned from, because is that the first time you became an entrepreneur?
Nah, that was like maybe my third business. Mm-hmm. I had started another one called Rec Room before that. That was mainly like t-shirts and hoodies.
Okay.
And that did pretty well as well.
Yeah.
It's just that I got busy. You know, once I got back to Vibe, I was working.
Yeah, working.
So that was when it was a hobby, even though it was an entrepreneurial thing.
Yeah.
I started it in 07, you know, by 2010, I was just like back in the groove of working, you know, doing edits and all of that stuff. But then Gary was like, yo, we could do this. And it really worked out well, man.
Yeah, no. Look, I've seen this whole transition, right? And I'm proud, man.
Yo, you know, I appreciate that. Like, but that's coming from a guy that opened up spots. You had a frozen yogurt spot, bro.
Yeah, in Brooklyn, where everybody told me it wasn't gonna work.
Yo, we was there all the time.
Yeah,
we used to bring the girls.
Yep, yep.
Yeah.
We're going to reopen next year, God willing.
Mm-hmm.
We just had situation with, you know, when the neighborhood starts gentrifying, what happens is first they go after the renters, right? So they increase rents.
Yep.
And
move them out.
Then the next group of people are the homeowners.
Yeah.
And then the business owners, right?
Got you.
Now, the business owners, the way they get you out is they raise the rent. But if you own the building, they can't raise the rent on you. So how are they going to get you out? Violations. And I call Landmark the Marines of when they try to get you out, right?
They're ready.
Most people can't fight with Landmark or violations, right?
Right.
So fortunately for me and my wife, we're able to fight and we're strong and we know that it's a long-term play. So we're like, we're in here for the long term.
Yep.
So you're not getting rid of us.
We here.
And we're here. So we fought them. It took us 2 years.
Wow.
And we won. We finished. But we have one more hurdle.
Of course.
And we just had to like re-up and recoup and refocus.
Yep.
And now we're going to go after buildings department and finish with them and go through that hurdle.
Yeah.
And go into construction and open up, because everybody in the neighborhood is asking me, where's Brooklyn Swirl?
Yeah.
Where's Brooklyn Swirl? Like, we miss it. Even last night, somebody came up to me and was like, what happened to Brooklyn Swirl?
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, it's coming. I'm trying to work. You know, so we didn't close for good. Like, we're coming back because it's important to have a business in the community so people that look like you, the little kids, are coming up. Like, they're not only seeing other nationalities own businesses where they live. It's important to see black-owned and brown-owned, black and brown people owning businesses in the community where they live and serve and grow up, you know?
Well, that's how it was when I was growing up.
Yeah.
You know, like, I was in Prospect Heights.
Mm-hmm.
It was like Lincoln and Washington Avenue. And there was an older gentleman. You know, we had the Chinese restaurant right there. We had the pizza shop, which was Italian. Mm-hmm. We had the liquor store, which was like Irish. We had the bodegas, which were like Middle Eastern,
yep.
You know, and then
all the delis
for real. And then you have Mr. J, older black man, you know, older black dude.
Yeah.
But what he did was he sold everything that you need. It was a convenience store, but it was literally like a closet, you know, but he had all the hot comic books and he only kept them because a couple of the kids like myself and a couple of others wanted them. He had no reason to be selling them in that area.
Yeah.
We were his only clients for that.
For that.
The newspapers, of course, all the adults.
Yeah.
But Mr. J used to keep like all these little pea shooters and little games and stuff. He used to keep all of those for us. And it was important. It was like, yo, we just go down to Mr. J's. And you go down to Mr. J's, it's a black man that looks like your uncle
or
could be a grandfather.
Yeah.
And we don't have enough of those in the hood anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and then what hood am I talking about?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
What hood is there? You know, so it was important for us to be able to see someone like that mm-hmm. in that position that could open and close his own spot.
Yeah.
That was key for me as a youngster because I'm 44 now and I still remember him and I remember what he did.
Yeah,
you know,
it's true.
If you didn't have enough money, go ahead, man.
It's like I know your
sweep
family.
Up, sweep
like,
up
you, yeah, sweep up. Do
yeah,
something.
Do
yeah,
something.
It's fine.
Yeah,
and that's important. Like I grew up in Long Island, Deer Park, and there was nobody.
Wow.
You know, like all the kids I went to school with, their parents owned businesses in the neighborhood.
Right.
Like there was. Like when you were telling that story about Mr. J, I was thinking about there was no Mr. J for me.
Wow.
None.
Wow.
None. Now I think about it, none.
That's
not
crazy.
Not even the barbershop.
Wow. And I mean like that in the barbershops around our way was a given.
Yeah.
You know
bro,
what I'm saying?
Not even
Shorty.
The barbershop. The barbershop had black barbers.
Right.
But matter of fact, yeah, black barbers, but they weren't owned by black people.
Oh my goodness.
Yes.
Man. I mean,
crazy.
When I go
it probably
back
changed
far,
now,
yeah.
But like, I remember, and sometimes I couldn't even find a black barber, so I had to go to like Hempstead.
Yeah,
and I had to go further out, and I had to go towards Nassau County.
Yeah,
you know, but Suffolk County didn't
have it.
No, bro. And even like the music we used to listen to, you know, get our you know. One of my favorite groups is Wu-Tang, right?
Of course.
So every time Capadonna came out or somebody came out, a mixtape, anything, you went to the Italians
that had
the record
shop.
Yeah,
they got the spots.
We didn't even have that.
Yo, man. See, that was the one thing about Brooklyn. Like, you were able to go to, like, Mr. Birdie's or something like that if you wanted to do that, or B Street or whatever. But I don't even know if they were black owned. But there was another entrepreneur around our way that really lifted me up. As far as like, wow, I think I could do this or be involved.
Mm-hmm.
His name is Don Poole.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Mr. Cummins.
Yeah.
So he owns, right now he owns Brooklyn Chop House.
Yep.
But you know, he was in the music industry before. So he.
Didn't
you know,
he own some IHOPs?
Yeah, he got all the IHOPs. Like that's pretty much all the IHOPs that's in Brooklyn right now. But the one on Livingston, I think there was one in Williamsburg.
Mm-hmm.
He had a bunch of Checkers.
Yes.
You know, him and his man Diamond, rest in peace. They definitely trailblazed because they owned a club called Club Rain.
Yes.
He had the barbershop around our way called Moods.
Mm-hmm.
That was the spot. You had to go there and you saw all the new artists before they came out, like Biggie, Foxy,
wow.
Shine, Lil Sean, everybody came through there. And this is the mid-90s, early mid-90s. And that's where you went to find out what was going on. And this is owned by a black dude, young black dude at that.
Yeah, yeah.
And managing artists, like, all in the game. So I used to peep game there when I was getting my hair cut. And I'm learning.
I'm still inside, man.
Yo, it's word, man. Yo, you still inside.
I was still inside, man.
It was a beautiful time.
I was like, damn,
time.
Those are the times I missed, man.
Yo, it was a beautiful time,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, that's
beautiful
cool.
Time.
So what, you had a long career, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
what part was, like, super exciting for you? Like, what's the best part for you? Like, you know,
when I look back on, like, it's like 20-something years now. It's like 23 years, if I count my internship. I would say that. There are a multitude of, like, moments, but, like, the era of excitement probably was when I started King, and life just changed, man, because I was covering lifestyle more than just the music. With XXL, it was super exciting because then I was able to go across the country similar to, like, my military lifestyle when my stepdad was in the military going all over.
Mm.
I was able to, like, go to different regions and hear artists from different spots like Crucial Conflict. And I was going down to Houston and seeing DJ Screw and he's taking me all around. And
that's,
you know, like bugged out stuff like that. I'm going to Atlanta when Too Short was just getting out there. And,
wow.
You know, that type of thing. But then with King, man, I was going international. Now I'm going back to Japan with Allen Iverson. I'm going to Cognac, France, you know, with Martel. I'm going to Italy with Iceberg for the like my life just started taking on like this crazy Forrest Gump type travel
crazy.
And I was just like, wow, you could do all this by you know, servicing people, giving them information, mm-hmm. letting them know what's up. And I would say that time, when I think about it, was probably like the wildest, because not even wild, but just excited. Mm-hmm. I just got married, had my first child. I'm building a brand. Mm-hmm. No one handed me this brand and said, you know, continue it. It was like, build something.
You ever felt, when you just said all of that, mm-hmm. what I just felt was pressure.
Yeah.
Like, was there a moment that you just felt like, how did I get here?
Yeah, but what's so funny, man.
And like, how do you maintain, you know?
Yeah, like, the pressure thing was funny because it wasn't necessary pressure. Mm. I remember interviewing Kendrick, and I asked him about the pressure he has now that he had linked up with Dr. Dre.
Yeah.
And he was like, nah, yo, I really don't have any pressure. I've been wanting this. And it's like, whoa, but you know, like, he makes nothing but super duper stars and you're not there yet. So that's some pressure. He was like, nope, I've been wanting this.
Wow.
And then when I got my chance to make my own magazine and for it to be successful, there wasn't any pressure. I was excited, man. I was like running. The things I did for like to set up and make that first issue, like going to, you know, different people that had things that I needed. Like I wanted the Air Force One Gucci sneakers that I had seen somebody with, and mm-hmm. I found out, tracked them down at this store, asked the person that owned the store, can I borrow the sneakers? I'm asking them if I could borrow $600 sneakers for a photo shoot. They thought I was crazy. And they were like, are you crazy enough to ask? We're crazy enough to let you go ahead. Wow. You gotta take them. Took the shoot, did it, put them on some Louis bags, brought them back. And they were like, all right, whenever it come out, just let us know. You know what I mean? Them back. When the issue came out and they saw that, yo, the love that I got made me realize, like, yo, if you can do that and you can envision these type of things, and you make these kind of connections, you're going to be okay. That was like, it's real simple and like nondescript moment. Mm-hmm. But that moment in particular let me know, like, they were making fun of me because I wasn't going to get the sneakers. We don't got a budget for that. I'm going to find a way to get them. Mm. And I want people to know that this is the type of stuff that we're going to, you know, show them and let them know. And I think about that moment because it was so many of those kind of moments when I was building it that didn't feel like pressure. It just felt like I just got to get it done. And then once I did, it just led to another bigger moment, you know?
There's a statement, a quote at my office. Mm-hmm. Either I will find a way, I'll create a way.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
But I won't create an excuse.
There it is.
And that's the entrepreneur's mindset, right?
There it is.
And I think your approach has always been you always came into a space using that entrepreneur's mindset.
All the way.
So when all the, say, workers were like, we don't have a budget.
Right.
The job didn't give us a budget for what you want to do. What you said was, well, if the job didn't give me a budget, I'm going to find a way, but I'm not going to create an excuse, right? So you went and you took action, right? And so that is that entrepreneur's mindset. That is that faith, grind, inspire, right? And then so now once you got it done, now it's like, yo, Daytona's the man.
Yeah, yo. And it's so wild when you say it like that, because it's like if you don't have the money, right, you create the currency.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like you create, I have to put in some kind of sweat equity to equal what that $600 was. So that sweat equity was me getting off my ass, going down there, talking to the person, letting them know this is what will work for me, but this is also what will work for you. We'll put your name in there. We'll give people the contact information.
Where to buy
now,
it.
Yeah, so now you're not just selling this one pair of sneakers. You're selling your brand. So when people come, they might buy the sneakers and something else.
And something else.
So I created the currency for them to be like, oh, that makes sense for me.
Exactly. It's free advertising. It's free advertising.
Yeah, and it works. But what that takes, when you create the currency, it takes trust. And it takes the people kind of feeling you out. Like, yo, he look like a scumbag. Is he talking right? Is he making sense? Does this really work for me? Let me see what the timetable is. Is this important to be aligned with this brand? I don't know what this brand is. It's never been created before. I trust him, though. Oh, he's a cool guy. You know what I'm saying? Like, you got to create that currency. And a lot of times it's like how you present yourself, you know? And sometimes it works. Sometimes it doesn't. Yeah.
Now, talking about sometimes it doesn't, right? So there's always been something that's always been famous, at least on my side, when growing up, I remember it's always been the cover.
Yeah, man.
Always been the cover.
That's been my life for like the last 20-something years, yeah, the cover.
The cover. Like, so is there any time, like, naming both, right? Yeah. A time where you thought this cover was going to hit and it didn't.
Oh, yeah.
And then a cover that you think didn't hit. And yeah, all of a sudden, this was the one that was like everybody was into.
Yeah.
Like one of my favorite covers, and it's like super simple.
Yeah.
Was it was like 50 Cent, mm-hmm, and he had a suit on.
Okay.
Right? And
okay,
it was like him turning into a businessman, and that, okay, was when inside I think he took all the tattoos off. And
that one for Vibe or
it was
one?
Vibe.
It was Vibe.
It was Vibe. You know that's why? Because that's when I partnered up with Vibe.
Okay.
To do This Is 50 Comedy.
I remember.
Yeah, with JFK.
I remember. Yeah, with JFK.
So he was, yep, on the cover, and he had like the suit on.
He had the brick background.
Yes,
I believe.
Yes.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
That was a dope one, man.
Yeah.
Jermaine.
No bias, but that was my favorite.
Yeah. No doubt. Jermaine Hall at the time, that's my good friend. He was editor in chief, and I was executive editor, I think, around that time.
Mm-hmm.
And 50, by then, Jermaine and I had already, you know, made King incredible. And then when we both went back to Vibe, anytime we had to do shoots with people, it was usually automatic because we had worked with them for so long prior. And that particular one, I remember him and Jay, they had a really good time. I think, you know, Jay always wears suits too.
Yeah.
So that was like a theme for them.
Yes.
And then 50 was really going into the entrepreneurial status where he was wearing suits a lot more,
mm-hmm,
you know, so that one worked in particular. When I think of covers that I thought was going to hit and didn't, I hate mentioning artists or people, but it was one with Brandy that we thought, for a King,
uh-huh,
that we thought was going to do better than what it did. And it wasn't even Brandy's fault. I'm not even going to put it on her. I think for us, it was the creative direction of how the shot came out.
Got it.
You know what I'm saying? So I'm not going to put it all on her.
Yeah.
I was just like, dag, man. Because, yeah, you know, it was such an important one for us. One that I thought I was going to get and never got,
yeah,
was Beyonce.
Because Beyonce's never been on a cover?
Not for King.
Oh.
For Vibe, she was, but I wasn't there at the time.
Got it.
She was on like at least 3 or 4 covers for Vibe.
Yeah.
But we never got her for King.
Mm.
And I always wanted her for King, you know. I felt like it was important to have her, you know, represented. And I gotta like a lot of the people that I wanted for King, but we went for her a few times and we were met with the stiff arm, but it was cool though. It was cool because I got some solace with her team, and they were telling me that like the pitches that we did for her were some of the best pitches ever.
Wow!
I was like, but it didn't work.
So talk about that, right?
Uh-huh.
And on the business side,
yeah.
What percentage do you think what part do you think the cover plays
mm-hmm
in like selling the magazine?
Well, back when like print was dominant,
mm-hmm,
and I would say like late 90s, even it going as far back as the late 90s going into the early 2000s, the cover was everything.
Yeah.
The cover, I mean, everything.
Yeah.
Your cover sold it, you know, because you didn't really have like social media to help push other aspects of what might be in the issue. Mm-hmm. You didn't have that. There was no, hey, this is the other stuff that we got. You know, your cover lines had to help sell with the cover. So, I would say like 95% was that. And then what else helped sell it was like the 5% that you might have seen Snipes. You know, Snipes are like the print version of, you know, Post No Bills.
It's
like
wherever you see in
the city up on construction sites and all that.
Yes.
Those are the Snipes. So your snipe game, if it was dope and people going around the city, you know, because you're not thinking about the rest of the country. You're thinking about metropolitan areas.
Yes.
If you out there like that, those were your ads,
it's true,
and that's what helped push it. But for the most part, if you had a dope cover, especially if you during that time, a Jay-Z, a Lil Wayne, 50 Cent.
I remember when you had the, it was like the double covers.
You had the roll all the way out with like the freshmen.
Yeah.
There's times when, even with King, I had Melissa Ford on one cover and it had Gloria Velez on the other. And then when you put the covers together, you get part of their bodies on the other
on
one.
The other one.
So the more you bought, the more you got of them.
Oh, that's
it was
hot.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
Yeah. I have tons of those.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. They still... We had a subscription.
Yep. Yep. That was the best way to do it.
Yep. But man, so how do you one of the questions that I always ask all the entrepreneurs in here, mm-hmm. right, is how do you balance work, family? You travel a lot, you're raising daughters, yeah. You have a wife, how do you balance and what advice would you give someone that's trying to, and they don't have to be in your industry, because everybody, it doesn't matter what industry, they all have this same issue.
No doubt, no doubt.
And so
I would say the balance part is still something I'm figuring out. It's tough to be able to, perform,
mm-hmm.
meaning come up with really dope ideas and things that's going to keep you around. That's the hard part. Doing the work, everybody could do the work of once you have the framework, and you just go ahead and at some point that framework gets old,
mm-hmm.
and you have to start innovating or you have to start doing things differently.
Yeah.
Your sector might change, or you might lose a team member that was integral to how that framework, progressed and helped you become successful. So I think right now, one of the main things as far as the balance is me being able to see when those things change. And if my life has to change, meaning I have to get in earlier or do mm-hmm. more work later or stuff like that, adjusting to that. But then when you add the family aspect of it, your family is constantly changing. Your kids are constantly getting older.
Yeah.
Your bills are constantly becoming either more or more intricate. You know what I'm saying? Yep. You're adding in, college, and then you're adding in retirement. Then you're adding in, hey, do we expand the house? It's all these other things. So as your business is changing, your life is changing as well, And that's the thing that you have to, because one could be really high, one could be really low, and then you got to bring them up together so you can have peace of mind.
Yeah.
And I think one of the hardest things to do is to ignore one or the other.
Yeah.
Because one impacts the other the same the other impacts the other.
Yeah.
My advice is to, I've been lucky. My wife is just super understanding.
Is she an entrepreneur?
She's an entrepreneur because she helped us build the business.
Mm.
She was the one that was like, yo, I'm going to hustle these hats over at the spot, at the job. And then somebody from the job liked the hats, and they started their brand based on our joints.
Wow.
And she helped a whole nother brand come out of our brand.
That's hot.
You know what I mean? So her entrepreneurial mind, she's always been like that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But she's been super understanding as far as my schedule and all the... There's so many people that want my time,
mm-hmm.
And not because, I need Daytona's time, but just because of what I do,
mm-hmm.
there's a lot asked of me. And I have to give it to her and my daughters to not pressure me about, you didn't come with me to this, or, dad has to go to this. And they understand.
That's good.
Yeah, that's paramount.
That's amazing. Because,
It's hard
Because as creative as you are, right? And when you think about editor, and there's a lot on the line for you, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking about if I get pressure because I miss my son's basketball practice, what's going to really happen, right?
But
for you, if someone makes you guilty,
the guilt.
If somebody puts the guilt on you, and you have to be creative with editing a piece, and your mind is cloudy, so you can't focus on the piece, and it doesn't come out the way you want it to. That's the pressure I'm talking about, right? And so the fact that your family understands that, and it's cool because one of the key elements is partnership, right? So you have a partner, you have a wife, but you have a partner, and your team
mm-hmm.
is the family, and they understand the partnership.
They know the play.
They know the play.
Here's the play. All right, cool. Dad's going to run this play.
Yes,
and then most of the time, mom's going to run this play. You know what I mean? And they're able to see that. I think one of the other things is...
That's cool.
There was a time when, when I was coming up, I knew I could just be like, all right, cool. I got all this stuff that's going on. Okay, either I got to transcribe this or write this piece or do something that's you know, it's like tedious, mm-hmm. but it's integral to the job. And I could count on myself on doing that.
Yeah.
And it was so easy because you're younger, you have more time, you're able to do it, your focus is different. As you get older, going back to that well is so much harder because you start to realize like that everything that you got to do has tripled.
Yeah.
You know, I have 3 girls now.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't like I could do that when I didn't have kids or I had 1 child.
Yeah.
I have 3 now. And, you know, you still got to attend to family matters even outside your home. So it's like moms and brothers and sisters. I'm the oldest of 7, you know, 3 on my mom's side, 3 on my dad's side. And then the host of friends, fam, people that just ask. It's a lot, bro.
Like, for example, and this is how I knew you understood balance.
Yeah.
So Daytwan invited me to an event with Damon John, right? Yes. And he's like, you have to come. You have to meet him. I got to introduce you guys. You're my man. Come. So we get there, and Daytwan was actually the host, right?
I'm going to tell you something about that.
And then he was the host. And as soon as it was over, everyone was like networking. And because, you know, he was the host, everyone's going to come there.
Yep.
He didn't rush anybody,
mm-mm.
but he sort of calculated and he kept moving towards the door. And then as soon as he got towards the door, he's like, yo, Gene, I got to go. And I was like, all right, I'm out too.
Yeah.
And we left. And it was because we got it. Like, because I was trying to get out of there too, but I was like, damn, I don't want to leave.
Of course.
Because this is a good opportunity. You don't get invited all the time. So to this little private thing. So I'm like, I'm not leaving until he leaves, you know?
Yep.
And you're like, yo, I got to go home to the family.
Yeah, I got to get that train.
I got to get that train.
That train, yo, man, my whole life is run by the Long Island Railroad system, pretty much. You know, I could sit on the subway all day if I want, but that's like a drag.
Yeah, yeah.
If I could just make that 9:42, yo, you should see it, man. I mean, like running through a streak of lightning. You know, that's up. Daytwan's running for that 9:42.
Yeah, that 9:42
or that 8:30. I'm trying, but yeah, man. Like I try to calculate and the network. That's another thing for entrepreneurs to network is like. That's like the bloodstream of what you're trying to do.
Oh, yeah.
You have to do that.
Yeah, you do
have to. You could open up the best, you know, bakery ever, but if you're not outside hustling to get people there, you know, outside of social media, you know, you got to press that flesh. You got to talk to people. Mm-hmm. You got to start coming up with ideas and collaborations and things like that.
People have to feel that energy.
They have to, man. And that's why I do things still. I might not do it on the level of a lot of my other friends.
Yeah.
Some of them, they really go all the way out. I'm super calculated. So that way I'm trying not to exert myself too much.
Yeah.
But lately I have been. Yeah. I've been like running myself down. Bro.
I see that, man. I've been praying for you though, bro.
Thank you, family.
I've been praying for you, man. If you feel that little boost of energy, man.
That's what it is.
And I'm telling you.
And likewise.
I do, bro.
And likewise, fam, because you realize like if you're not out there hustling,
mm-hmm.
it's not gonna come to you, man.
No.
It's not. And that's one of the things that, you know, I try to tell my brothers. One is a DJ, one's an artist. My sister gets it. My sister, she does hair. She got to go somewhere. She got to be at the dry bar. She got to be at the wing.
Yeah.
She got to be at the set. And she's on it. She's like, boom, boom, boom.
Yeah.
She's running it down. My thing is, like, as we're doing that, let's check in and make sure that we're good.
We're good. Exactly.
Like, physically.
Yeah, yeah.
Mentally.
Yeah.
Spiritually.
Yes.
And that's one of the things where I'm always grabbing books.
Yeah. You meditate?
I started back again.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you, man, oh, my goodness. I was doing it for, this is the weirdest thing in the world, mm-hmm. OG. Before I started working with Russell,
mm-hmm.
Every day, I was going to yoga two times a week.
Yeah.
Consistent for months. It was crazy. It was helping me. It was getting me right.
Yeah.
I go get with Russell, the yoga guru. He leaves every day at like 6 something to go. In the year and a half I worked with him, not once did we go to yoga together.
Really?
I was like, yo, when I got this, I was like, oh, I'm gonna be a yogi.
Yeah, I'm gonna be floating.
Yo, I'm gonna straight be like straight up and down. What was his name? Dal Slim mm-hmm. in Street Fighter?
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
I was gonna be like him.
That's funny.
Yo, and straight up and down did not happen. I was working. It was like work. Russ was like, oh, you good? All right, man, I'm going to yoga. I was like, damn, I gotta stay here. You know what I'm saying?
I wanna go with you.
Yeah, exactly. But I did learn meditation, a deeper form of meditation with him. And I incorporated that into my life after, and this is like 2010, 2011. And then it would be in a minute. I'd do it here and there, here and there. And then like maybe 2 months ago, it was like so much going on. I was like, all right, Dave, you got to sit still, bro.
Mm-hmm.
You got to sit still. And I started asking friends that I knew that were in it, mm-hmm. like, what's some of the newer ones that you have? And they were sending me links. And I started trying some. Man, I did one for like 3 days. I was like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. I would do it before I left the crib.
Mm-hmm.
Yo, my week was incredible.
Of course, yeah.
It was incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, things were sharp. Boom. It was like a boost of energy because you raise yourself to another frequency.
Exactly.
And the thing is consistency.
Mm-hmm.
So then you're on that new frequency. You think you're good. You don't have to do it.
No, it's a false illusion.
It's a false, and you gotta stay
consistent.
It. That's the thing.
Yeah,
man.
I actually fell off for a little bit, and then and it was like I was losing my balance.
Mm-hmm.
That Gene swag that everybody knows, it was off. And
yo, their body knows.
Yeah, your body knows. Yeah. And I started gaining weight. Like it was off.
Yeah.
And but now I actually teach. I have a program mm-hmm. in the schools called Groundwork. And I teach kids, inner city kids, like young men, yep. How to meditate.
That's
instead of me doing it because I'm not an expert at it.
Of course.
You know, I'm learning too. So, but there's an app. Mm-hmm. I mean, not an app. There's a
because I used to use the Calm app.
Yeah. Well, it's called Mindful in Minutes.
Mindful in Minutes.
Yeah, it's okay. A podcast.
Okay.
And I'm subscribed to her, and I play it. Her name is Kelly.
Okay.
And basically, you know, it's like 15 minutes.
Yep.
You know, I put it on. I play it in the class.
Boom.
We all sit on the floor, comfortable space. Like,
yo.
Yeah, man.
Well, I mean, like, true. Phil Jackson, he used to do that for the Bulls.
Yes.
Zen them out,
man.
There you go.
You gotta get focused, bro.
You
because
do.
Sometimes, like, your head is cloudy, and you can't. You need. It's like you need to let mm-hmm. the dust settle, man.
Yeah, man.
You know what I'm saying? Like sometimes your life is like this. It's like this.
And you're trying to operate,
and
like
you're
that.
Trying to operate like this.
That's crazy.
And then so you just need to like be still.
Yep.
You know, and understand like you need that stillness. But you were saying you gotta tell me something funny about that. Event that
so Damon John, of course, you know, really good friend, Shark mm-hmm. Tank dude, I mean for years and years now,
mm-hmm.
and you know, his people hit me, it was like, yo, you know, John wants you to come through to the joint, it's gonna be dope. I was like, all right, cool. They was like, yeah, I just want you to, you know, like host, kind of, you know, all you gotta do is just show up. I was like, all right, cool. I was like, you know, I'll show up, I want to hear what his new inspirational album is like. So I get there, I was like, oh yeah, you're gonna be interviewing him. I was like, what?
I found out that day.
Like, I was like, yo,
man.
What you saw on that stage was us having a conversation that we would have if it was just us.
Wow.
That's what that was.
Yeah,
and then people hit me
job,
and was
bro.
Like, yo, like, that's dope. Like, the preparation. I was like, preparation?
Yeah.
I was like, that was minute to minute.
No, you did a great job, man.
I appreciate that, man. That was a lot of fun.
You asked some good questions, and it was funny because you asked that pressure question.
Yes.
You know, like, how do you deal with that? You know, like, everybody thinks you're always on, you know?
Yeah.
It's funny because even though before the interview, right, so our producer Tim has a podcast. Shout out to Tim.
Young Tim. Right?
And he has a podcast, and he interviews, like, legendary hip-hop artists, right?
Yep.
And it was funny because he threw out a question to you, like, you know, and it was just let me see what you are, and it was
gotta be ready, man.
I wasn't ready, so
gotta be ready.
Yeah, that question, I was like, yeah, I don't know.
Joints come from
about.
All over, man.
Yeah, yeah.
It's funny because sometimes you'll be with, like, even some like this past month
mm-hmm.
and this past week in particular, I've done a lot for the HBCU. Community.
Yes.
So last week Monday, I was out in DC.
DC.
And
I saw you with GC.
Yeah, like all of us was together. Isaiah Thomas, all that stuff. But that was like to inform those kids. It was like 250 students from all the different HBCUs in the DMV area, and then we informed them, had mentorship time, and all that stuff. And those music questions come out of nowhere. Or just questions in general. You like, oh, dope. Yeah, so little Tekka. Yeah. He's from Springfield. Da da da. You gotta be ready. And then I went to just this past Friday. I went back to DC, and I was at Howard
mm-hmm.
for their career fair. And man, these kids are so sharp. they were so sharp in their questions about the industry and, you know, what they should expect. And, you know, if I'm in PR, but I'm in IT, like, how does that differentiate if I come into the
wow,
I'm sitting there like, damn, I gotta see what that means.
Yeah, what that means, right?
And it was a lot of fun because I was learning as well as giving them an opportunity to showcase their skill set for different brands, and some of the brands were hitting back. And I say all that to say is like, you got to be ready.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying. You just got to be ready, man. And I feel like I'm on is like I live it.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't. It's not like a thing where I necessarily turn off. It's just a power down.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying. I don't necessarily turn off. So, and I think I'm gonna be like this, man.
I think so too. You're like the. I was telling one of my matter of fact, Jeff, my co-host,
yeah, Jeff,
right?
Yep, yep.
And he was like, because he's in the medical world and all that stuff, right? And I said, he was like, who are you interviewing today? So I said, I'm interviewing Day Dog, right?
Yeah,
Dayton
yeah.
Thomas. I was like, editor-in-chief of Vibe.
Yep, yep.
And he was, and I was like, and he's like, Vibe, really? And I said, yo, bro, he's the Diddy of magazines. And he said, the Diddy of magazines?
Yo, that's mad funny. You know, I'll take it.
Yeah, so, and the reason why I say that is because it's like, there's people that come in, and they can't reinvent themselves, and they can't be consistent, and they can't stay fresh.
Right.
And it's because they came in for the wrong reason.
Yeah, man. A lot of them come in, you know, with different agendas. Yeah.
And so your agenda's always been clear ever since you wore that backpack with the tapes in it.
I still do. You lucky I didn't bring it to
No, bro.
I usually have my book bag. You see me. Yeah.
I see you.
Same way.
And so, like, talking about Diddy, right?
Yep, yep.
Did you interviewed him?
Oh my gosh, I have so many Diddy stories.
Yeah.
There's a famous one, and famous as far as like the range of my fame is, but there's this story that I tell on YouTube. My man interviewed me because he knew the story. When I approached Diddy, this is in 95, before I got my internship at Vibe, I approached him outside of Russell Simmons' Fat Farm store. The store hadn't opened up yet. And me and my cousin was waiting to get some gear so we could go to a pool party later that day.
Yeah.
But we got there early, and Puff was there. He was out, big body, 600 Benz, across the street by himself, by no himself. Security. And he was on the phone with the ear thing in. And he was yelling at somebody, bro. This is like 9:30 in the morning. I was like, this dude is intense. Because I think we all thought they probably opened at 9 or 9:30, but they didn't open until 10. And I saw him yelling at the person. I was like, yo, when he calmed down, I'm going to go over there. And my cousin was like, leave that man alone, yo. Leave him alone. Yo, he wilding. He calmed down. He crossed the street. And I was like, yo, Puff. And he was like, yo, what's up? And I was like, yo, man, I'm Dayton Thomas. Heavily into music. I produce. You know, I do everything, man. I go get coffee. This is the days before cheesecake.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Before the cheesecake, right?
I was like, yo, I get coffee, all that. He was like, I was like, do you have any internships? My man was like, nah. I was like, okay. He was like, all right. I was like, yo, man, I'll see you at the top. Looked at me like, what? Like, all right, like, just okay. He goes into the store.
Uh-huh.
Like, it's about to open. And my cousin's like, we can't go in there now. He's like, yo, we can't go. I was like, yo, we going in there. So Puff is in there looking for stuff. We in there looking for stuff, and it's mad awkward. He just told me no. But then that was 95, right? A bunch of stuff happened in 10 years.
Of course.
As much as, like, I worked with him in other companies and stuff, da 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 da. 10 years later, 2005. Oh, 2000. It was like 2006, actually. I'm editor in chief, is editorial director of King.
Yeah.
Started the magazine. He loved it.
Yeah.
He became the guest editor for his album Play. He was the guest editor. So we had to go up to his office at the time. It was at Atlantic, and we had to plan the issue together. Me, him, and my staff. And it was me and him mainly. And that's sitting across from him. And he had to write his editorial letter, and I had to write my editorial letter, the ones that's in the front.
Wow.
And I was just looking at that moment, like, it was definitely 10 years, but prior, he told me no. Now, 10 years later, I'm sitting next to him, and he asking me what I think. Yo, what you think of this one? I'm like, yeah, that's cool. Why don't you try this, though? Like,
Did you ever remind him of that?
I hadn't. But I wrote like a little something. It was like a little inside joke for like people that knew.
Yeah, yeah.
And I really did see him at the top.
Yeah, you did.
To the point where we're working together now and you respect my opinion. You see me, it's like, what's up? And it's like, oh, my man's doing his thing. Whatever he need, let him, like, go ahead. They trying to need that. Or, yo, I need X, Y, and Z. Call Day.
Mm-hmm.
And that for me, that was the validation of whatever I saw years prior. Like, yeah, yo, I want to work with you. Yeah. I see what you're doing. Vision. You inspired me.
Vision.
You know, and I think of moments like that, man. Like, stuff like that just bugs me out, man. And that's just one Diddy story. Yeah. That's, like, nowhere near all the Diddy stories.
I'll tell you an embarrassing Diddy story.
Oh, wow, wow.
So, growing up, I've always wanted to meet him, yeah. Right? Because everybody in school used to call me J. Diddy.
Yikes.
Because I'm a Scorpio, yep. A couple days apart. Like,
the hustle.
Yeah. So, I dressed like him. I had to, you know what I mean? All that stuff. So, I said, yo, the day I meet Diddy, man, I'm going to give him my business card and I'm going to, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So, we start ACA.
Yep.
And we're going around. Matter of fact, you were at this party. It was for DJ Cassidy. Everybody
okay.
was there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It was at Cipriani.
Yep. Yep.
So, and I'm with Bo, and I'm like, yeah, I didn't know he was going to be there.
Yeah.
So I'm like, yo, the day I meet Diddy, I'm going to do this. I'm going to give him my card. And so I'm walking, and I'm texting on my BlackBerry,
yeah.
Right? And I'm texting, BBMing somebody, like, yo, you guys need to be here. Like, Bev Biv DeVoe is here.
Wow.
Russell's here.
Yeah.
Everybody's at this party, right? For this DJ. So mm-hmm. I was like, all right. Yo, I'm texting, I'm walking, and I bump into someone.
Wow.
And I'm falling.
Wow.
Right? And who catches me?
No.
Yes, man.
Puff catches you?
Puff catches me in his arms, bro. I look up.
He's like, take that.
Yo, bro, I look up. His security's like surrounding, but they didn't grab me. He's holding
me. You.
Like from falling.
Wow.
And I'm like.
Wow, saved you.
Seriously? I look up and I'm like, yeah, exactly. I was like, seriously? And I said, yo, this is not how we're supposed to meet, man. So he was like, what? He said, yo.
I envisioned this way different.
Yo,
a power lunch, a nice big corporate.
So I had to like, and you know, I'm a Scorpio, so I had to think quick.
Yeah.
So I was like, yo, but I got a Sean John suit on, though. Yeah.
Nice. That worked. That worked.
Yo, so he was like, yo, who you with? So I said, yeah, I'm with my business partner, Bo. And so he's like, yo, come. He was with the R&B singer, Mario Winans.
Mario, yeah.
So he was with Mario Winans, and he was like, wait, you guys, who you guys with? He's like, yo, come to my section. And because me and Bo were the only ones in, like, suits, we were in his section, so people thought that we were his security.
Automatic.
So they were asking, yo, can I take a picture with Puff? I was like, nah, man, keep it moving. So Puff started laughing. And there's a picture Bo just sent me, like, he found online of that night. And he was like, yo, you look like you were glowing.
Yo.
Because you met your idol. But years later, I got an opportunity to actually print business cards for all his companies.
Look at that, bro. Look
you
at
know,
that.
Yeah, man.
Look
so
at that.
It comes around.
It does, man.
When you say you want to, because since I was a kid, I was like, I'm gonna work somehow. Yeah. I'm gonna do something for him, and I end up getting Sean John for years, printing the clear business cards.
Yeah, man.
That's me. The hard cards with Combs Wine and Spirits.
Yes,
that was me. All of that. Even the Blue Flame, the little thin one. That's
all the
me.
Way.
Yeah. So shout out to Puff, man.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go, man. But you know, like. We tell these stories about him because he's the quintessential dude that made it from the hood all the way up, took the world by storm.
He was the Mr. J, bro.
Yeah, all the way.
Because I didn't see a Mr. J. So he was the Mr. J for me.
Like, all the way.
When I saw entrepreneurship, I saw Diddy.
Right.
And I didn't, you know, people like Jay-Z now, but I didn't see Jay-Z as an entrepreneur.
Right.
I just saw him as a rapper.
Right.
I saw Damon Dash as an entrepreneur.
Right.
But I saw it because I thought he was the one that, you know, because I was a kid. So I saw Puff. And I saw him, you know? Those are the two executives that built something.
Yeah.
And I said, wow, one day I'm going to be that. And you are. Yeah.
You are, bro.
I didn't want to be in the music industry.
Yeah.
I tried different things, man.
Yeah.
You know, I was doing sports management. I was managing people from the Giants.
Right.
I tried to work with Darrell Revis. I did all that stuff.
Wow,
man.
Revis.
Yeah, bro. I was telling this guy a story the other day, and nobody really knows this, right?
Right.
So you know Zach Randolph, right?
Yes, I do.
So this is another crazy story.
Yeah.
So Zach Randolph, because of like different networks that we were in, I got an opportunity to work with him, right? Mm-hmm. I was supposed to sign him.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a big dude. So he comes, he's like, because I was in a suit. I'm always in a suit.
All the time.
He comes in. I had a CLK. I had to drop the top for him to fit in the car. And he just signed with the Knicks.
Right.
And he was playing for the Knicks. And I just, like, we were meeting, and he was like, yo, tomorrow,
mm-hmm.
I'm signing with you. Yo, you my guy.
Let's go.
100 grand.
Bam.
The next day I wake up, they traded him to the Grizzlies. I was like, yo. Son.
Yo.
Yeah. You're so there was like two blows in sports for me that made me leave.
Yeah, because sports is so crazy.
That was one. The other one was we had an opportunity to throw an event for Michael Strahan, his retirement party at Strata.
Yes.
Right? During the draft weekend.
I said that.
You were there.
I think so.
Yeah, you were there.
Yeah.
Yo, the dude from Last Dragon was there. Yeah. Everybody was there. But you were there.
Uh-huh.
And this guy comes up to me, and he's like, yo, bro, I heard you the guy.
Yeah.
So I was like, what team you play for? And he was like, I said, what team you play for? He said, I don't play for a team. I said, yo, here's my card. Call me when you on a team.
Right, right.
And I walk away.
Right.
So the next day I went to my business partners. I was like, yo, fellas, man, like this guy came up to me and, you know, he had a funny last name, right? And I was like,
Giannis?
No. I said, he wanted to work with us. But I brushed him off because I didn't really know. He didn't play on the NFL. He didn't play football. So I was like, yo, here's my card, whatever, whatever. And my partner was like, what's his name? So I was like, Michael Crabtree.
Are you serious?
And he was like,
You did not
tell Michael Crabtree.
Call me later.
Call me later. When he came up to you. I said, yeah, who is he? He said, bro, he's the number one draft pick.
He's a top prospect.
I said, you know what, man? I'm done with this, bro.
I'm good.
That's when I went to work with Kevin Hart and all these guys because I was like, I'm done with the sports thing, man, because I don't know it.
Right.
You know? And I was like embarrassing myself, bro. And so with that Crabtree story, bro, I was just like, I was very transparent about it because I was like, because people don't tell their losses and their things.
But that's what you learn.
That's what you learn. And you know your strengths.
Yep. That's what you learn. And then you try, if you do learn like your weaknesses within a particular part of your industry,
mm-hmm.
you learn like, yo, I need somebody that does it well.
Exactly.
You know, either I farm this out or I bring that person in.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like that's the whole thing.
Focus on your strengths, man.
All the way, man.
Focus on your strengths.
All the way.
So I got a shout out,
uh-huh.
Kevin okay. Clark.
Yep,
right?
That's the fan.
We had
Get Day Dog.
Get Day Dog on Favorite Grind Inspire.
Some people was hitting me like, yo, you gonna do it?
Yo, for real?
I was like, yeah, it's my people.
He said, you gonna do
you
it?
You gonna do it?
Like, yeah, man, of course you gonna do it, man.
Yo,
that's my boy, bro.
It's fam.
So appreciate you, appreciate him.
Of course,
him.
Man, this has been
amazing. We have one question that we always ask all our guests, right?
Okay.
So out of Faith, Grind, Inspire, which word resonates with you?
Ooh, faith, grind, or inspire.
Yeah.
Dag, man. All three are like my mantras. my faith is the highest as far as like believing in things. You know, that's like a personal thing.
Mm-hmm.
Grind is subjective. Some people might think you grinding, some people might think you're not. Sometimes you think you're grinding, sometimes you might not be. So that's subjective. The inspiration aspect, though, I think that one probably resonates with me a little bit more so
mm-hmm.
because I get hit a lot about how I inspire other people. And you could take that in a conceited way, or you could take it in like, yeah, that builds me up kind of way. I think the way that I take it is that I'm here for a reason. And if what I'm doing naturally that feels good to me and I'm passionate about inspires other people, then that helps with their faith, and that helps with their grind, and that helps with my faith, and that helps with my grind. So I feel like the inspiration aspect is the one that probably resonates with me the most.
I love it, man. Yeah. It's true. And that's what this is all about, man. Yep, faith not inspired. You have faith in yourself. You put in the work. Mm-hmm. And the work isn't supposed to be something like, hey, look at me work.
Nah,
it's just you're doing it naturally.
You're doing it. And then people gravitate.
And people gravitate towards it. And people want to. People, you inspire people by, just like Instagram, for example, right? Mm-hmm. When someone, if you see what people are doing, right, and you know them,
mm-hmm.
you're getting inspired by
them, man.
And you go
hustle.
And do the work, you know, like you're
hustle.
Like, damn, man, what am I doing, man? Let me make some phone calls. Let me.
when you hear like basketball players or sports individuals say like, "Yo, I see somebody doing their thing," or like Kobe gets out there before everybody else, puts up 500 shots.
Yes.
So now Damian Lillard is like, "Yo, I seen him do that on our court, so now I got to do at least 500 because he did that on my court just to get ready."
Yes.
When I see other people like kind of do what I do, mm-hmm. and they out there hustling and stuff, I get inspired by it. I'm like, "Oh man, they doing that? That's what's up."
Yeah.
I'm doing it, not the competitive inspiration, because I might not be able to do exactly what they're doing,
mm-hmm.
but I can do what I do to the better or best of my ability because I'm seeing, oh, they doing their thing. Let me do my thing.
Exactly.
And whatever my thing is my thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And you have to be okay with it being your thing and not what the other person is doing being successful with.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
And I think that's one of the things we're all getting caught up when people say, social media is wrong for you. If you look at it the wrong way, if you look at it in an envious, jealous, that should be me, why they get it. If you do it that way, yes, it's wrong.
Yeah,
but if you're able to use it and see that someone's doing something beyond what they did the other day and they're moving and grooving, they're getting up there regardless of whatever else they're going through, use that aspect. Tilt the lens, man, because you could look at it one way and it look all crazy. But if you tilt it the other way, it can help you as well.
Man, that's the tip of the day.
Yeah, it is. Tilt
the
lens.
That's the tip of the day. Yo, tilt the lens. I love that, man.
There we go.
That's so true. And I didn't even talk to you about social media.
Yeah.
And it's true. Like, because you got the blue check. And
man. Yo, it's a good thing to know people.
Yeah.
But they ain't there no more. So when everybody hit me, they be like, yo, can you get me one? I'm like, well, people left, man.
Wait, you talk about you knew people at Instagram?
Yeah, at the time.
Oh, that's cool.
At the time. And they were like, yo,
I didn't even know there was real people at Instagram.
Yeah, exactly. It was like, yo, you should be verified. I was like, yeah, I should.
Yo, that's cool, man.
But nah, it's dope, man.
Yeah, that's
cool. What it does is it just brings, you know, a validation. But even if I didn't even know necessarily that I had it until a little later.
Mm-hmm.
People would hit you and be like, yo, you got the blue check. I was like, oh, dope.
Yeah.
The same thing on Twitter. But even if I didn't have it,
you still be day dog.
Yo, know, that's why I don't like, yo, follow me. I don't be doing all that. I was like, yo, if you get with me, we cool.
Yeah.
Like,
and you know what, man? You always been humble, bro. Like, even some people, when you post them
mm-hmm.
or you tag them or you say something to them, they don't write back.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
As busy as I know you are,
uh-huh.
you always reply.
I try, man.
Like,
I try to
so
jump
crazy,
in there.
Bro.
I
like,
do. I pick and choose.
Sometimes I'm like, is this him? But
yeah.
then I know how you talk. So
right,
I'm like,
right.
this is him. You know? I do have to ask you one more question.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So you worked with. So you ever did any pieces on like Kevin or anybody like
Kevin Hart and
anybody besides like
music?
Yeah, music.
Oh yeah, yeah, definitely. I'm trying to think
like
of,
any like cool story. One last cool story.
One last cool story.
Yeah.
That's so many, man. Damn, I'm trying to think of a real
like cool. One. Who's the interview where you to make it easier? Who's the interview like, yo, I'm actually gonna do this?
Oh wow. probably Jay-Z.
Okay.
It was Jay. And this was like in 98 going into 99.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to do the Murder, Inc. cover where it's him, DMX,
yes,
and Ja Rule.
DMX and Ja Rule.
So
wow.
You saw them, and then when you flipped it over, they had that. Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Jonathan Mannion shot that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I did the cover story, and I had to go out to Cali with Jay and them during that time. And that was when like Rockefeller was really fully forming.
Yes.
With like the new generation, because Beanie Siegel, that was his first time out there. Bleak was out. Ja, it was just an incredible time. And me and Jay were in the trailer and he, we're looking at cartoons at the time, yeah, in between video shoots, because he shot 3 videos in like 3 days. It was crazy. And I was ready to interview him, and every time I would try to start the interview, he wouldn't do the interview. He would rather just talk or not. We would just like, you know, little comments here and there. And then I realized, like, oh, dude doesn't want to do the interview. He just wants to chill. And when I realized to stop pushing for the interview, mm-hmm. and realize, like, take in what's going on and use that as the piece, mm-hmm. it became a better piece, because I saw him interview with other people later, and all of them had similar quotes.
Yeah.
But my story stuck out because I took the environment that everything that was happening around him and how he was responding to things and what he was looking at and how he moved and all that stuff. I put more of that in, so people got more of him.
Of him.
Yeah.
As a person than the artist.
My favorite song on there is Song Cry. Like, come on, man. What am I get from him outside of that? You know, and it just gave me another angle, another skill set to use with other people. Like, even if they did give me the interview, still take in more of how they're reacting to things and what they're doing and really listen to what they're saying. So he taught me that without teaching me.
What I just got from that is people forget these artists are megastars.
Oh, no question. Like, no question.
Megastars, yep. You know? And they forget that they're people.
Yeah.
Right? And sometimes you don't want to, like, for example, I mean, this is totally small scale.
No, but that's real.
When I go to my office, mm-hmm. right, in Brooklyn, everyone's like, yo, you're the yogurt guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And what's your favorite yogurt? And, right. you know, they talk to me about yogurt all the time.
What's number 7 is your favorite?
Yeah. Or in the space, I'm in real estate. So yep. I've been in real estate for 20 years. So sometimes I don't want to talk about anything.
Yeah.
Right? I just want to. And when I'm walking with my family, I'm at the park, and somebody comes up to me talking about real estate. And I'm like, yeah. You know, I'm like, yeah. But because I love real estate,
I could do it.
But sometimes you just want to be like, let me tell you who I am. I meditate, guys.
Sometimes you want to sit and look at cartoons.
Yeah, I want to sit and watch cartoons.
That's what he was doing.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you just want to do that.
And which is a dope moment.
Yeah.
You know, I love that. And you don't, when you, I have a stupid Jay-Z, 2 of them.
Yeah.
But it was, the first one was when we launched mm-hmm. ACA.
Mm-hmm.
It was playoffs at 4040. I rented out the 4040.
Nice.
I had all these people. You were there.
I was there for that one.
Yeah.
I remember
and
that.
He was sitting on the steps.
That's what I love about the story. He's like, yo, you was there.
Yeah, you were there. And so he came to watch LeBron mm-hmm. in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
So he was there, right? Probably not by my invite. I invited him.
I mean, 4040 is his.
And it was his. So he was there. And he just noticed that everybody he knew was there.
Wow.
So he came up to Tommy, which was the manager at the time. And he was like, yo, whose party is this?
Yeah.
And how come I didn't really know? And then so he was like, yo, I'll get the guy. And I walk up to him. And I made mixtapes in the gift bag. And the mixtape was pretty much all his stuff, you know? And so I was like, so he was like, yo, congratulations. I heard this is your launch or whatever.
Yeah.
So I was like, here's a gift bag.
Wow.
Right? Here's a gift bag, you know, thank you.
Yeah.
For inspiring me and inspiring this.
Of course.
And I try to make it. And remember that song, dun, 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 dun.
Rock Boys. Yeah.
So that was the
was around
whole
that. Yeah.
around. That's the theme. That was the theme of the event, right?
Yep.
That whole grown and sexy. We're all in suits. Everybody dressed up, and so I said, "Thank you for inspiring me for years," right?
Wow.
And so that was that. That was that one. And then the second time I meet him, like instead of talking to him and like really building,
yeah.
First thing I did was like, yeah, this is so-and-so, like, you know? And I didn't talk, and he looked at me like, I know that's not what you want to say to me.
Right, but.
But you were nervous? You know what I mean?
You should see it, man. I've been around him and other celebs when people, like, they get around them, and they, you know you don't, you have a little bit of time.
Little window.
You got that window.
Yeah.
And you never know what you're going to say. You could go with the plan. You can have everything
I had a plan,
out.
Bro. The second time I didn't know who was asking for you, that was the third time.
Okay.
The second time I met Jay, I came, I was playing, it was like a fight, a boxing fight, right?
Yeah.
And everybody, you know, goes to the 40-40.
Of course.
So I'm in one of the rooms playing beating Angie Martinez in pool.
Right, right.
And I had a sweater, like a Carlton Banks sweater. Jamie Foxx was in there and making fun of me about the Carlton Banks sweater.
Of course.
And he was like, yo, Angie, how you letting this Carlton Banks ass nigga like beat you in pool? And I'm like, y'all beat you too. Like,
right,
you know?
Right.
And then so I was working with Cliff Lewis, who played for the Giants. So that was my client that I had there.
Yep.
And one of the managers comes in and was like, you, somebody wants to meet you.
Wow.
So I was like, all right, come. So I brought Cliff, and we go into the other room. Who's in there? Jay-Z, Beyonce, Zab Zuda, what's his name? The dude that plays in Blackish.
Oh, Anthony Anderson.
Anthony Anderson. A bunch of other people. Jay-Z stands up, handshake. Yo, bro, I didn't know what to say, bro.
You're gone.
I was gone. I just sat like, my ass in that little room.
He's like, yo, I'm chilling here.
And I was
for the rest
I'm chilling
night.
Here for the rest of the night, bro. Like, and I was cracking jokes with Beyonce. I went home. But this is before iPhone, man.
You can't. Like, these stories, like, the stories that we have from that era, kids don't know,
They don't know, man. There was no
documentation. And all
no
of that
Instagram.
Type of stuff doesn't happen as much now.
Bro.
They're not that accessible.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You can't have that story with Jay-Z and Beyonce now.
No.
You know what I'm saying?
I gave him my card, and I told Beyonce, I met you at Visions in Atlanta for All-Star Weekend.
Uh-huh.
And they thought I was part of the crew. And, you know, I don't know if you remember how they used to just leave. They used to, like, huddle, and they walk out together.
All together. Church on the move.
So they put me, Memphis Bleek put me in the huddle.
Oh,
my cousin pulled me out right before we hit the door. He's like, where the hell do you think you're going,
I was
bro?
Going with them.
I was like, I'm going with them.
I don't know. You're going back to New York, right?
He's like, yo, bro, nah, man. You ain't.
Yeah, I'm going with them.
I'm going with them. That didn't happen, man. But anyway, yo, man, that's cool, okay. Man. Look, you just threw me back.
Yo, you know that's what's going to happen with us.
Man. So, man,
Thank you.
Appreciate you for coming on.
Thank
you for cutting it with me.
Finally
this
did
is a great
it,
conversation.
All the time.
And so, guys, where can people find you?
They can find me at vibe.com, you know, the website. And then on Instagram is just Datewon, DATWON. And on Twitter is at Daydog, DAYDOG.
Yes. Follow him, man. Follow him. Respect it.
All right.
And subscribe to the Vibe.
There we
go. Vibe.com, right?
Vibe.com.
Yes,
there we go.
Go ahead. And so, guys, thank you guys for tuning in to this another great episode. Hope you enjoyed a candid conversation with me and my guy. Thank you to Brianna. Thank you to Tim. And thank you to all you guys for tuning in for another episode. Faith Grind Inspire. Continue to grind. Keep going no matter what. God bless. Peace.